Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Wealth Blend with Cross Shield, where money meets fresh ideas and bold conversations. Each week, we bring you the hottest financial trends, expert insights, and practical strategies to level up your financial game. But here's the secret ingredient: having a financial coach in your corner. Together, we'll help you navigate the journey, tackle challenges, and build your wealth with confidence and purpose. And of course, we'll keep it fun, lively, and oh, so engaging. Plus, our quirky mascot, that would be you. Yep. Zoodles is always ready to spice things up. So grab your favorite coffee, settle in, and let's blend the tools, insights, and coaching support you need to create your ultimate wealth story. I'm Rudy Upshaw, CEO and founder of Cross Shield, and today we have an amazing team member that is joining us to give us some of their insights, some thoughts. We have the amazing Allie Long with us today. She is our executive assistant here at Cross Shield, and we're so glad to have her. Allie, welcome to the Wealth Blend.
Thank you.
Again. Allie, Happy New Year. It is 2025.
Happy New Year.
What happened to 2024?
In a blink of an eye, I'm like, it's crazy.
Oh my gosh. You know, I have to tell you and everyone else, I'm really, really glad that 2024 is in my rearview mirror. It has been an interesting year. You know, we had the amazing and crazy political election season that we walked through this last year. I've had a lot of personal changes in my life that have occurred. And I'm still here, and we're still taking care of people. So what did you do for your New Year's, Allie?
Well, I was supposed to work, but then I wasn't feeling good. So I ended up just going to bed very, very early. I did not make it till midnight at all.
You did not make it to midnight?
No, I went to bed at 7 p.m.
Okay. I did not make it to midnight either. I think I was able to stay awake until about 11:15 maybe. And that was really pushing it for me. It's, you know, anytime we have, I think, a New Year's in the middle of the week, it just seems like it kind of throws everything off. Especially when we have, you know, many people have to go to work the next day, on Thursday, the first, Thursday, the second, it just really throws a lot of things off. So, but I am super excited for 2025. You know, we've been doing this Wealth Blend now for several months. It originally started out as the Financial News podcast, and we migrated to the Wealth Blend. But this particular podcast for our audience is really having conversations about latest things that have come up maybe in the news, things financially that are more of a topic issue. Also, some business things that may be coming up that has a financial component to it. So we want to really talk about a few of those items and give a perspective from a financial coaching viewpoint. So that's really what the Wealth Blend is all about. Plus, we also get to invite Zoodles to give some input every now and then. We're not able to do that today. Zoodles is not feeling really well either. And so next podcast that we have, we'll get all that corrected. So Zoodles can be more participatory in this process. So
just his presence is good.
Yeah. You know, Zoodles is really cool, and he's a lot of fun. So, but he's going to kind of be quiet today. So, hey, we've got a couple of articles that we want to talk about today and just bring up to the listening audience. So many of us have migrated to delivery of our stuff, be it groceries, be it, you know, anything that we'd normally go and get maybe at the store, at Walmart or Lowe's or goodness, wherever else. Allie, I saw a commercial over the New Year's break, the last couple of weeks during the holidays, and it was a DoorDash commercial. And they have been running this commercial, like, I can't tell you how many times a day they're running it. But it's a DoorDash commercial, and they're not DoorDashing food anymore at DoorDash.
No, they do other stuff too.
Okay. So I am now in the know, because obviously you knew about all this stuff before, but it's a makeup commercial and it's super impactful. It's got this young woman, and she's sitting at her mirror, and she's decided that she wasn't going to go to this gathering, you know, event during the holiday. And then she gets a text message from someone, and basically it says that her ex, I'm assuming boyfriend, is going to be at this gathering. And then her face kind of gets squinched up, and she's like getting upset and irritated. And she's like, I'm going to go to that, but I don't have makeup. So how can I get my makeup quick? DoorDash.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
No, literally.
So You've known about DoorDash doing all kinds of other stuff, right?
Well, because Uber does stuff like that. So you can Uber items, you can Uber groceries, you can Uber other stuff. However, Uber Eats is not as popular as DoorDash. So yeah. I feel like DoorDash probably saw the potential that Uber was doing. And they were like, we can do this too if you don't just want food and you want other things. And so, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Will I do it? No. But it's nice to have it available.
It is convenient. Yeah. First article really kind of addresses a little bit of the cost of the convenient and also just the different way that we're not getting our things that we need or want. So this article is by Imani Moise with the Wall Street Journal. It's porch pirates are now raising the price you pay at checkout. Huh. Okay. So this has been an issue we've had for a long time, the porch pirates, stealing stuff that are coming on our porches. But we've seen increases due to inflation, but now we're seeing increases really called due to what's called shrink. So anytime that things are stolen, things are taken, there are guarantees that the shippers or that the manufacturers are providing that says, hey, we delivered your stuff. You didn't get it. Someone stole it. And, some of these companies provide a guarantee that they will replace the item, right? Mm-hmm. Placement of those items is costing the companies more, and they're passing that cost along to us. So we are definitely paying more for convenience of getting things delivered to our doorstep. Mm-hmm. And some of those costs are coming in the way of, this porch pirate and this porch stealing. So, I rarely ever order anything like through a DoorDash or through a convenience service because as a financial coach, I work with hundreds of clients that have these services and I can see what the costs are in their budget. And when we work with clients, we have them factor in not just the cost of whatever they're purchasing, be it, makeup or food, but we recommend that they take that delivery cost that's in their bill and put it in a category so that way they can monitor the cost of those things. So on average, it's about 30 to 40% more to have an item delivered in that way than it would be if we were to go to the store. So that's kind of what we see in this article about the theft piece, talking about the prices increasing is just a direct reflection of that. So, I guess the lesson, to this story a little bit is if there's a way that you can not utilize these highly convenient services to get the things that you want, that you need, you're going to save on average about, 30 to 40% on that particular item. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah. My brother, he needs to get a Ring doorbell because someone tried to steal their package on their porch before. And they ended up not taking it. My brother, they make a joke saying it was probably something they didn't want. It was like something. It was like my mom's lamp or something for Christmas. They probably opened it and they're like, eh, never mind. But their neighbor saw someone like looking in their package or looking through their packages. And then over Christmas break or Christmas, they had a package they bought that wasn't supposed to be delivered until January. Came on Christmas Day and they were out of town. And they were like so frustrated because they were like, you told us it wasn't going to be delivered until January. And here it's delivered 2 weeks early and now it could be stolen. And it's like $200 worth of like pots and pans. And they were so nervous about porch pirates. And I'm like, I don't know. I agree with the sense that I think it's a good idea to have that sort of protection just because I understand if it is more common. But then at the same time, I don't know. You're right. Just like go in the store. Maybe that'll just help. Just go in the store and just buy it. It'll just help, But then if it's like they're out of stock, that's
right.
You have to do the delivery. And so it's very,
That's another really good point because I'm seeing a lot more of the kind of staple products, the staple items, and even some of the big box retail stores, you can't find them there physically. You do have
to order
them
online. They're always like, order it online. And I'm like, I don't want to order it online.
Yeah.
Like I want to order it here. That's why I'm at the store.
That's right. Yep. So. The other thing the article talks a little bit about is some of the distributors or some of the companies are actually adding a little bit of a fee to the invoice. And the fee is, I don't know what they're calling it. They call it this
protection
package theft or something
package,
like that.
But package protection.
Yeah. In some cases, it's a mandatory fee that you can't, you know, not pay. So anyway, kind of watch for that, audience, some of these fees, and really be thinking about, are these items that I really need to have delivered? Does it have to be delivered? Is there a different way I can get this particular item? So
I like when stores do where you can pick up at their, like their store. Does that make sense? So you can like pay online, but pick up at their store. I like that option.
Yeah, and even in some of those, there some of the retailers are actually charging a fee for a pickup unless you have a certain subscription or membership with them to avoid the fee. So, man, these memberships and subscriptions, it's such a big growing category in the items that we see clients have more and more. So
some of them are worth it. Some of them aren't. It's like,
yep, you got to figure out what's best for your situation. Yeah. That's right. All right. The next article that we have, this is from the Wall Street Journal, and this is by David Uberti. The article is, a credit score hangover is hitting America's riskiest borrowers. These borrowers are falling behind on payments after the pandemic aid ran out and inflation skyrocketed. So we're now seeing, this article was just sent out last week on the 24th. And it really just talks about, going through the pandemic situation, the crisis where companies were laying off. Mm-hmm. We had government funds being provided, which are really not government funds. They're really your and my funds, things that we've paid taxes for go in to provide all that. But those dollars have really kind of run their course. And so with the rising cost of products and services having gone up, those monies being depleted. And also, I would just add to this as well, we are seeing the highest debt levels that we have ever seen in the history of our nation going up too. So even though we had pandemic where people were pulling back and being very much more intentional about their money, where they're spending, and making sure they were accomplishing their goals, that has totally reversed itself. So all of these things are very significant impact to a person's credit score. The other thing that I just want to share with the listening audience is that your credit score is not a fixed set formula. It's a formula that changes, not based on the formula and how it's actually calculated. You don't have any control over how your credit score is calculated. Okay. What I mean by that is the credit bureaus determine the changes, and the lenders actually work with the credit reporting agencies, and there are different risk thresholds that a particular lender can say, we want to subscribe to this particular risk threshold of a person's credit score. So I wouldn't call it necessarily kind of a game, but it is gamed quite a bit, the credit score. So if a lender wants to only work with people that have less risky credit ratings, credit structure, and all the details behind it, they can actually ask the credit bureau, we want to work with clients that have a FICO score that are in this level, be it more risky, less risky. Isn't that interesting? Before I was in the banking industry for 30 years, I always thought that your credit score was a set number that you could do certain things to make it look better, look worse, whatever you wanted to do, but it was a fixed formula.
That's what I thought, because like I feel like I'm pretty good about like making payments on time, like this, and it just only keeps going down. And I'm like, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm doing good.
Yeah, there are certain kind of standard things that we can do to kind of help it. Correct. Yeah. But there are different credit scores. It's not just one credit score for one bureau. There are different types of credit scores. Now, granted, they're not all terribly different. They're pretty close to each other. But I will say that it is a bit of a game kind of that is played. So all that being said, this particular article talks about the FICO scores in going down, you know, kind of during pandemic. And, you know, the credit score really is basically a number that communicates your relationship with how you handle your debt, right? Mm-hmm. So it's an I love debt score is really what the credit score is. Now, Credit score is also being used in a lot of industries, such as insurance. You know, If you're looking at renting maybe an apartment or maybe renting a commercial space, they are using credit scores to help those people make a credit decision on whether to rent to you or not. But at the same time, if we're focused just solely on our credit score, which means that we need to have debt, we need to pay our debt well, and we got to always be in this debt mindset. If we really think that that's where we're going to be, we're never going to get off that hamster wheel. We're always going to be kind of fighting this. I have conversations with clients all the time that say, oh my gosh, my credit score is, let's say, a 704 and I want it to be an 820. The question I ask is, why? Why do you want your credit score to be 820? Well, because it looks better and you know, I can let people know I have a really good credit score. Why? Does it have anything to do with the content of your character? Does it have anything to do with how much money you actually have in the bank? Well, no, but I always was told I need to have a good credit score. Well, that's not true. You don't even have to have a credit score.
It really stresses people out. It stresses me. It used to stress me out. Like
100%.
My dad's like, you're never miss on payments. You're good with your thing. Like, you're fine. Like, it doesn't show who you are at all. Like, you're okay. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So just want to caution people. Listen, your credit is important. No question. If you do have debt, you need to make sure that your money, your budget, the things that you're doing with your finances are going to fulfill your obligation to your debtor. I'm sorry, to your lender. You're the debtor to your lender. And the first thing at the very top of any type of credit product, be a credit card, home loan, car loan, whatever it is, the very first line says, I promise to pay, and you want to fulfill that agreement. So if you're having issues or challenges with really kind of keeping your debt taken care of, if you're worried about your credit score, we would love to have a conversation with you about those things and give you the best guidance to make sure that you're in a good place and feel good about where you are. So, all right, last article that we have, and we're kind of running a little bit out of time, so I'll be real quick here. This is super interesting. This article is, again, from the Wall Street Journal. We get a lot of our articles from them. This is from Veronica Dagher, D-A-G-H-E-R. Thank you, article. Thank you, Veronica, for this article. It's a super important article. So we're at the first of the year, and many times at the very beginning of each year, a lot of families, a lot of households, a lot of people are looking at where I'm at financially. Am I at a place where I'm ready to purchase a home? Do I need to sell my home and downsize? What are we doing? And then in that whole conversation, if we do need to maybe sell our home, are there things that we should be considering in getting that home ready for sale? So what this article talks about is, it is, if you want to sell your house, figure out what to renovate first. And it says replacing a garage door probably won't hurt. It's probably worth replacing a garage door, but adding the bathroom may not be worth that. So this article goes into some detail about different aspects of a house that many people have looked at either replacing, repairing, or even upgrading to try to get a better sale price for the property. And as it goes through and discusses it, a lot of the costs for some of these improvements have really increased quite a bit over the years. And so some of these improvements that you might want to make when you're selling your house may not actually give you the value from the repairs or from the upgrades in the sales price of the property. So, you know, this was really interesting. It talked a little bit about, let's just say a roof, okay? So a metal roof replacement on average across the country costs $49,000. To replace that. But from a resale standpoint, only adds about $24,000 to the resale value. So you're only covering about half the cost that you would have put in to replace it. So it's a really good idea to really look at where you're at with the property, and to bring a professional in, bring someone in, preferably a good realtor. We always recommend working with a really good realtor in your area. And we give you some guidance on what that would look like. But a good realtor is going to give you some thoughts and ideas on some areas that may be helpful to improve. The biggest area in this article that I noticed was the aesthetic appeal, the curb appeal. How does the property look from the street? All right. We're talking landscaping. We're talking painting. We're talking, obviously, there may be some structural things maybe to the property, or there may be some things that you need to do through the inspection. But really giving it that really good update, curb appeal, the look, the paint, many of those things create such a higher value on the resale side than it may be necessary. It does talk a little bit about some of the improvements inside the house. It talks about remodeling an upscale kitchen. And this number is crazy. I don't know what part of the country these people live in, but it's $158,000 on average to a remodel kitchen. But it only adds, you know, $60,000 to resale. So really thinking through those are really important. And
I always thought it was like, you need to remodel the house before, because I think there are specific things that will make your house sell more, like more money. Yep. But then I was talking to a friend and they were saying how it was like a friend of a friend. They remodeled the whole entire house, sold it for like more money, but then went back to see like when they resold it, took away everything they did, like remodeled every single thing that they had put the money into. So they were like, if I would have known they were going to just remodel it anyway, we would have not spent that money to remodel it to only get that. Like, it's not like you're getting so much more out of it. And so I saw that, and it even talks about in the article, it says, it says there's things like painting the walls and having fresh carpet. Like, that's okay. Those are good things to like do. But other things, it's like sometimes they don't have the same like style that you do. So they're going to redo it anyway. So there's no point of even doing it. And I was like, oh, that's really good to know. Like, really good.
That's a really valuable point. And we, when we work with clients and having these conversations, we really... Many people do want to do the remodels. We're like, wait, do you really need to do that? Because the likelihood of them coming in and loving your color scheme and your, you know, all your style and all that is really super low. Because there's way too many, you know, do-it-yourself home improvement shows on, you know, TV that people have been watching, and they kind of have their own little idea. So be cautious and spend a lot of time. The article, one last thing I want to just talk about, which I thought was really, really interesting, is just replacing the front door. So on average, nationally, if you replace a front door, whole entry door area and the frame and all that, could cost about $2,400, okay? But it's going to add, on average, about $4,400 to the resale value. So that could be an area. It's like, okay, that might make really good sense. And also the flooring. So flooring, on average, is not terribly expensive. In this example, they talked about, this is a smaller ticket item. So doing some refinishing of your existing hardwood floors may cost about $3,400, but could add about $5,000 to the value of the house. So anyway, super great article. I'd love for you guys to check it out in the description down below. And so that's all I've got today. So we just want to cover a few things that were of interest that came through over last week that we thought would be helpful for you as you're thinking about what to do with your money. So we just want to say thank you for tuning in to the Wealth Blend with CrossShield. Any last comments for you out that you'd like to maybe bring up or talk about?
I would say just make sure that you're staying up to date what's going on with our country, and just make sure you're keeping up with it and making wise decisions. And if you don't know, give us a call. We have a free 15-minute consultation that you can talk with us about, and we can do it.
Fantastic. All right. Very, very good. So, Allie, I'll let you go ahead and take the takeaway articles and the assets that we've got. Thanks, everyone. With CrossShield. Ready to kickstart your financial journey? We've got your back. Click the link below to book a free and quick coaching consultation with us. That is your first step toward building the wealth you deserve. And if you love today's episode, show us some love by hitting like, subscribe, or follow, and check out our bio for links to all of our socials. Stay in the loop with the Wealth Blend. New episodes drop every Friday at 3 p.m. Catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Deezer, YouTube, and more. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Grab a cup of coffee and crush those financial goals. As always, happy savings.
Bye, guys.
See everyone.